a family man, yeah.
Welcome to the Family Man Show with Todd Wilson. This is the show where we remind dads of what's most important. I'm your host, Scott Moore. Thanks for joining us today. This is part two of Todd's interview with Heidi Strasser.
Where are some of the places that you would recommend? If somebody's going, where would you tell them to eat?
Oh, well, if you take advantage of the dining plan, there are so many fabulous restaurants to eat at. Even if you, you know, choose to pay for the dining plan, if you're going when it's not free, we've found that it's worth it. My husband is a money cruncher.
Why don't you explain that, first of all? what is the dining plan?
Well, if you stay on Disney property, Disney offers what's called the Disney Dining Plan, and it actually comes in a variety of different packages, but the main one, which is the one that we would always do, includes one table service meal per day, which is like a sit-down, fancier restaurant, including character dinners. One quick service meal, which is like a counter service. You know, you walk up and order, but a lot of them have really good food now. It's not just burgers and chicken nuggets anymore. And then one snack per day. Plus, you get a resort mug, so you can fill that as many times as you want to at your resort with soda or coffee or whatever.
And just a little pause on that resort mug. You know, we've never done the Disney plan, so I'm listening to you very closely and weighing that, because it's not cheap. And when you have like we have 10 people, is kind of pricey. But that little resort mug, they give you the little mug like at some theme parks where you pay $15 or $16 for it, and you can fill it up as many times as you want. And we'll be there for a week. So my kids, that's like their souvenir cup. You know, they fill those things up, and we are about rot our teeth out in 1 week of all the soft drinks and hot chocolate and all the stuff that we drink. But it's amazing. So go back to the dining plan. Okay. So
what we always do is we try to, you know, have a list in our mind of which restaurants we either want to go back to or new ones that we want to try, because you can start making reservations 180 days in advance, and it gets crazy. I mean, it's like vicious out there.
Right.
It's your 180-day mark, you better get on the computer or the phone right away, because everybody is calling in that day to make their dining reservations, and it's insane.
That's amazing.
Yeah, it's crazy, but it's just been a lot of fun to try. I mean, there's so many cool restaurants there. One of our favorites is Ohana at the Polynesian Resort. Mm-hmm. It's just really cool. It's kind of like family style, but they'll come around to your table with these long skewers of steak and chicken and shrimp, which I don't eat seafood, but a lot of people love that. And then they bring out salad and chicken wings and noodles and just all kinds of cool stuff. And it's just really delicious and a neat atmosphere. And that's one of our favorites.
But, and I'm going to guess, Heidi, that because I've never been there, but as in all the Walt Disney World restaurants, it's not just about the food. I'm going to guess the service is pretty amazing as well.
Yeah. A couple years ago, our waiter told us that he was there since it opened, you know, so they really take pride in working at these places. And, you know, some of them, I mean, that was like 30 some years that he had been working there. And one of the things that we like to do is make up little thank you cards to take with us on our trip that we'll hand out to, you know, wait staff or even cleaning people that we see or we stop to talk to or something, you know, just try to make their day. And it always does. But that one guy at Ohana said, I have a drawer at home that I keep things like this in. Like it's just his keepsake drawer from all of his Disney things that he's picked up along the way and things that people have given to him. And I thought that was really neat.
That's really neat. Well, you know, just other restaurants. Have you eaten at like Primetime Cafe or?
Yes, we've eaten at that one. That one's really cool. It's like a 50s diner type thing, you know, but we've found that we actually like sci-fi dine-in at Hollywood Studios even better. It's like you walk inside and it's like nighttime. It's like an old drive-in theater and you sit in these cars and they have the best steak. Oh my gosh. Yeah, yeah. Really, really good.
Where else have you eaten? My family, because we were jammed back, we were in the Magic Kingdom. We ate at the Be Our Guest restaurant, and my family thought that was amazing.
Yeah, we've eaten lunch there. We've never done dinner there because that's a really hard one to get into. my daughter and I have eaten at Tony's Town Square, the Italian place in the Magic Kingdom, and we've loved that. We've done Liberty Tree Tavern in the Magic Kingdom back in Liberty Square, and that's like a family style dinner that they bring to your table, and that was really good. We like to go to the ones at the resorts, and we love character dinners. I mean, my kids love that because...
And explain a character dinner to those who don't know what a character dinner is.
Well, you get a regular dinner, you know, where you sit down and it's either a buffet style or whatever, but it's always going to be good quality food and lots of it. I mean, and the characters will actually come around to the tables and greet you while you're eating, you know, so you can stand up and get their autograph and get your pictures taken with them. And we've found that it actually allows for more quality time with the characters than it would if you were standing in line to meet them at the park.
And no. Just so you know, when she says standing in line to meet them in the park, that means you could stand for an hour. To
absolutely
walk up and have them go chick chick, and then you go on and they go, you know, they wave at you and then you're done. So it's not for the faint of heart, those lines.
One of our favorite character dinners is at the Grand Floridian. It's in a restaurant called 1900 Park Fair, and they have breakfast there with Mary Poppins and Alice in Wonderland. But at dinner time, it's Cinderella and Prince Charming and the stepmother and stepsisters. And they are hilarious. Like, I just have to share a story from a couple years ago. We went there for supper, and my son, he's 10 now, but he was probably 7 at the time, he had fallen asleep. And so we got there, and he was just not in the mood to deal with anybody at the time. And the stepsisters went around first, and he wanted nothing to do with them. You know, he just kind of ignored them. And Cinderella came around a while later, and he has a thing for her. And he got up and, you know, was just all smiles getting his picture taken with Cinderella. And from clear across the restaurant, one of the stepsisters we hear yelling, "Ian! How dare you get your photograph made with Cinder?" And she came flying across the restaurant and insisted that he get his picture taken with her, too. It was so funny. I mean, we're just always amazed. Like, first of all, how did she even remember his name with a restaurant full of families, you know? And
right.
But they just really make you feel special when you're there. I mean, that was a little piece of Disney magic for us, but we will never forget that, you know?
And I think I have found that they do that really in a lot of the restaurants. You know, you were mentioning the Primetime Cafe. I mean, you know, I think you're supposed to call your waitress mom or big brother, and they treat you like that. Like,
they do.
They won't let you have your dessert unless you eat all your peas. And you're like, I don't want any peas. And you're like, you have to eat one spoonful. And they made my son stand up and put his nose on the wall, you know, because he was not obedient. And, you know, one time, I think it was my son who wanted to know if he could get another refill because he was just going through them so fast. And they bring out a huge cup, you know, a glass that's
yes.
humongous. It looks like a vase filled with the soft drink. And
they've done that to me there, too. They made me eat my greens. And, you know, I'm from Pennsylvania and we don't eat greens here. But she came and got the fork and stuck it in my mouth.
And made you do it. And you were glad to do it.
Yeah, at Disney, you know, I wouldn't have done that at home. But
that's right. Well, I don't know. What about because, you know, we're kind of very cost conscious. My wife especially. And I was going to say, have you been to Earl of Sandwich? Because we think the Earl of Sandwich in Disney Springs is the best deal in the park.
We love that place. Like, my oldest daughter's actually going to Disney World tomorrow, while on the other hand, am heading to Michigan. Something
like
is wrong with that picture.
Really?
But anyway, that'll be one of her first stops. I mean, she'll head right over to Disney Springs and probably get lunch there. So,
yeah, that's what we're thinking about doing in next week, maybe just running in for lunch. But for all of you Fort Wilderness, if you want to go to the campgrounds, the best deal in the whole park is they have carry out. You can get a pizza, which is, you know, it's not much more than regular pizza. Or you can get a big chicken meal for $20, which is huge, bigger than anything the Colonel ever serves. But it's the best kept secret there in the resort. Well, let's move on to, because we could talk about food for the entire time. How about as someone's going to buy tickets? Because there are a lot of different options in buying tickets. You know, in the old days, you could buy a multiple day pass and you could save it. You know, right. You. In fact, I just saw on the news today that someone had a ticket that was 20 plus years old and they still had a day left on their ticket and they were able to use it. That's not really the option anymore. How do you go about buying tickets?
Yeah, my best, you know, suggestion for buying tickets is to just buy them as a package deal from Disney, especially if you're staying on property. I mean, that's going to be your safest because I hear so many horror stories of people buying tickets on eBay or wherever, and then they get them and they don't have as many days as they were told or whatever. But I mean, well,
I know my sister-in-law, she told me she had bought maybe I shouldn't have said sister-in-law, someone I know, said she had bought lifetime passes. And she said they were only like $200 and they're good for your whole life. And I'm like, I don't think they sell really lifetime passes. And she goes, no, they told me that they do and they're good forever. And I'm thinking, she's going to be sorely disappointed one day when she goes to redeem those lifetime passes because they don't really make those available very often to very many people. Right. There are a few people who have lifetime passes, but they usually have the last name Disney.
Right.
But you know, I know some people will say, should I buy a single day pass? Should I buy the 10-day pass? Because, you know, the more days you buy, the less cost per day. In fact, you know, you get up to those big days and you're paying almost nothing for the additional days. When you go, do you kill yourself? I mean, do you like, if you have 4 days, do you go 4 days to the park and start in the morning and go till night and go home dead?
We do, yeah. we went for Ashley's 21st birthday and we took my best friend from high school and we just commando. I mean, we got up and got to the parks at opening and did every single thing on our list and got back at dark and we were exhausted and pretty much fell into bed and got up and did it all over again 3 more times. And my friend said at the end of the week, if I ever come back.
She's not coming with you.
Yeah, pretty much. But she actually is going back with me in September, but I had to promise that we're doing like a really low-key old ladies trip this time.
And you can. And you can, you know, some people with little kids will go in the mornings and come back out. You know, you hop on the bus or hop on the whatever, and it takes you back to your hotel. You can put your kids down for naps, and then you can go back into the park later on. And now there's something that not everybody knows, that they call it a park hopper. What do you, I assume that's what you use. And what does that enable you to do?
Now, we used to always buy the park hopper passes, especially when we stayed off property, because they're so nice in that you could start your day at the Magic Kingdom and then maybe you want to go to a resort for lunch and then you can go over to Hollywood Studios and spend the evening. You know, you can do multiple parks in one day, and that's a really nice option. Then when my family started growing and I knew, like, when we went when my son was 2.5 and we took friends who had a baby, and I'm like, we're going to have to slow things down with 2 little ones. So then we started just buying regular passes where we just stayed in one park all day. That worked really well. So it just depends on, you know, your family and the dynamics there. If you're going to be taking a break in the middle of the day, you might not need the park hopper because you're going to want to go back and see the things you missed in the morning at Magic Kingdom or whatever. The park hopper is going to cost more money, but there is some value in having that option of going from park to park, especially if you have less time.
Right. Well, the Disney World is, you know, it's humongous. It's like 25,000 acres. So I think it's the size of Rhode Island or something like that.
Yeah,
and
it
it's
is.
And it's divided into, you know, a couple different areas. You have the Magic Kingdom, which is, you know, what everybody pictures, the Cinderella's castle and all the Disney, the Mickey Mouse and Goofy and those, the rest of the gang. And then you have the Animal Kingdom, which it's nothing like a zoo, but it is animal themed. You know, and they're different lands. And then you have Epcot, which is the experimental prototype community of tomorrow, which has divided into 2 areas, you know, has all the lots of different countries highlighted and then some high technology highlighted. And then you have Disney's Hollywood Studios, which is a trip back to the Hollywood, the Golden Age, even though that's kind of changing a little bit. But how about you talk maybe highlights? Because it's hard to get it all in. Unless, like you said, you start in the morning and you start at the, and maybe we ought to talk about that in just a second. But what would be some highlights? Like, I'll just give you one, you know, one area. So if you're going to go to the Magic Kingdom, what do you tell them they make sure you see when you go to the Magic Kingdom?
Well, for me, it's going to be different. Even my family doesn't always agree with me on this, but I have to see those classic rides at the Magic Kingdom, the things that Walt himself had a hand in creating. So, like, one of my number one priorities is going to be the Carousel of Progress.
I mean, love that.
He actually designed that for the 1964-65 World's Fair in New York. And, I mean, it's pretty much in its original. They've only updated pretty much that last scene, and it needs a new update.
All right. And if you wanted us to, we could probably both break into the song right now.
Oh,
but we won't. Go ahead.
But that's a must do for me. And it's a small world. Yes, the song gets stuck in your head and it's annoying, but you just have to do it. Mm-hmm. And Jungle Cruise, you know, those classics, those are the things that I really, really love.
So you always do the Country Bear Jamboree then?
Well, not always.
You're not a purist then. Or the Tiki Birds?
The Tiki Birds, I try to do at least once every 3 or 4 trips.
Oh, yeah. Okay. How about the Pirates of the Caribbean? Do you go do that?
You know, we have always done that ride, but I never really loved it until we started watching the movies.
Oh, yeah. Like,
we were late bloomers when it came to the Pirates movies, but once we started watching them, I gained a whole new appreciation for that attraction. So that's we definitely.
Well, I know my brother, who has not been back in probably 30 years to Walt Disney World, he still talks about, does it still smell the same when you go in the Pirates and, you know,
because
they have the cannon blasts and it smells good.
You know, a couple years ago, my daughter and I were down. Well, we were there for the homeschool convention, and we stayed an extra couple of days and did one of the tours in the Magic Kingdom, which was fabulous. But then we met up with some friends, and we were just, you know, innocently riding the Pirates of the Caribbean, and we got near the end, and we got stuck.
Oh.
And we sat there. I know it had to be a good 20 minutes that we just sat, and, you know, the cast members were standing there telling us all to, like, go to the left and go to the right, and it was trying to, like, loosen up the boat. It was stuck on something. But even crazy things like that are things you look back on and laugh. I mean, I have a videotape and everybody's just, like, laughing. It was just really funny.
Well, any other Magic Kingdom highlights that you say would tell other people that they need to go see?
Probably the Haunted Mansion would be another one that I would say you have to absolutely see it at least once. I'm not a haunted house person, but Disney's haunted house is different from any other haunted house. It's not creepy.
Right.
I mean, the special effects that they used in it, and considering a lot of them they did back in the early 70s, it's amazing.
Hmm. Well, moving on to the Animal Kingdom, how about highlights there?
The safari would be at the top of my list. I love the safari. And the Lion King show.
Right.
I mean, that's absolutely, we can't go there.
Well, how about Finding Nemo? Do you like that show?
You know, that's not my favorite. And I think it's because we tried to see it that year that my son was so young, and it's long. And he just didn't want to sit through it. And I need to give it another chance one of these days.
You should, because for the Wilsons love the Finding
Nemo. Do you?
We love it. Because it's if you've never seen, like, one of those, like, Broadway, or when it's not on Broadway, it feels that, wow, this is huge. It just feels like a huge cast of people and the music, and it's spectacular.
I know the colors and stuff are really beautiful, too, to see. So we definitely do need to do that one again.
Well, do you have it? What about, because we don't go to the Animal Kingdom very often. What other, maybe we've missed something. Is there anything else that we should go do?
Oh, you know what? That park, everybody says, oh, it's a half day park. But to me, the more times I go there, the more I'm beginning to really gain and appreciate. Like, it's rising to the top of my favorites list. Mm. I love that park. It's so, like, relaxing. It's not as, like, stimulating visually as some of the other ones, and you just feel like you can kind of take it at a little slower pace. But I love the gorillas. Like, if you ever go on the Pangani Forest Exploration Trail or whatever, I could watch those gorillas for hours. They just fascinate me. And the monkeys that swing on those, like, ropes and stuff. I just think that there's so much detail in that park that you could go there a million times and not see it all. Like, have you ever seen the Divine, I think her name is?
I have never seen her. Why don't you explain what she is?
Well, she is like, you will miss her if you're not really looking for her, because she looks like a tree. But she's like this lady, and she's hidden behind these branches. I mean, you can see her face, but it's even painted up that it's very, you know, hidden. And she's up on stilts, but she just moves in such a graceful way. And it's just fascinating to watch her.
And that's really what makes all of the Magic Kingdom, because, I mean, all of the Disney World, because they have those things, like, as we move on to Epcot, sometimes they'll have one of those living statues that looks, you know, she looks like a marble person. And then all of a sudden you think, well, she had her hands down just a second ago. And then you look back and she's got her hand around some guy's head, you know, and it's really, and they're everywhere.
Yeah, I think people, like, they have a lot of new things coming at the Animal Kingdom this year, and I think people are really going to start to spend more time there, because they're going to keep it open later. They're going to offer the safari ride at night, and they have this new nighttime light spectacular that's going to be, you know, along the lines of Illuminations at Epcot or something. I mean, I'm just so excited, because I think people are really going to start to spend more time at that park.
Well, let's move over to Epcot. What's a must-see for people going to Epcot?
Well, if you like thrill rides, Test Track and Mission Space are two really cool ones. For me, I love Soarin'. I think that's fabulous. But
it is.
My favorite thing about Epcot is not so much the Future World part as World Showcase. I could just spend days walking around to the different countries and checking out the shops. And I just think it's so neat how, you know, each little individual section is so authentic,
I agree.
The workers and stuff that are there, and those Japanese drummers, and I just love it.
Okay, well, I'm afraid we're gonna run out of time. So how about Hollywood Studios?
Okay, Hollywood Studios, my absolute favorite, Toy Story Mania. Mm-hmm. I could ride that thing over and over again, but as a family, that's our absolute must do. But for me personally, Tower of Terror is my favorite. Any ride that can make you like scream and laugh all at the same time, I love
that. Is a winner
that.
For you.
Yes,
well,
I love that.
How about thoughts about, you know, because there's so much to do. You know, I was one of those purists when we started as a family. I'm like, we're a family. We do everything as a family. But the last several times we've done a little bit of splitting up. What do you think about that?
That's why we wear matching t-shirts, so we can find each other easily. My kids are so far apart in age that sometimes we have to split up. My girls are getting older now, but my son just turned 10. And so there's going to be things that, like, he still wants to ride the cars, you know, in
right.
Tomorrowland or whatever. And my girls aren't into that. So we do split up a lot. And if you are a family that's new to Disney and you're going to split up, I just recommend picking an off the beaten path place to make your arrangements to meet up. Don't meet up in the castle hub, because that's where everybody's going to be meeting up.
Right.
You know, splitting up is great. And with cell phones nowadays, it's easy to find each other.
Well, how about, because there are a lot of other things that aren't rides. There are parades and shows and fireworks. And, you know, when you think of fireworks, all your ideas, if you've never seen a Disney fireworks show, all the things you've seen in the past, just throw that away out of your mind. Because, you know, when I first thought, oh, I got to go to a parade, I thought, oh, you know, I've seen parades. What parades should they make sure they see while they're there, or shows?
I find that I tend to sometimes skip the parades just because all the crowds are there. Mm-hmm. And if you skip the parade, you can get on some of the attractions that maybe have longer lines at other times during the day. But I think that you have to see every parade at least once. Mm. That newer parade that they do at the Magic Kingdom is just fabulous now. And the nighttime parades with the lights and the holiday parades are really amazing. Yeah. They really are. So,
well, I'll put my little plug in for the nighttime parades. Make sure you see the nighttime parades and the fireworks. And the way it's set up now, when you see those fireworks and the nighttime parades, you want to make sure that you view it from the right place. Because I used to say you could go over to Frontierland or and you could watch the parade there because it wound its way and ended up down there. But you can't view the fireworks in all their glory unless you're down in that main street hub or they've created a new area in front of the castle that you can view that. But I'll tell you, they have images on the castle and down the street. It's just when it's over, you just go, wow, wow.
And why do I ever bother to watch fireworks anywhere else?
Anywhere else. I will say that the best way to do that is make sure you have someone staking out a claim for you.
Yes.
Whether it's the parents or maybe whoever is tired, to find a good spot and get there an hour before the thing starts and be mean to everyone around you because they will worm their ways in right in front of you.
And so, if you want to take pictures of the fireworks, have that person stake out a spot right next to a trash can because they make a great tripod.
That's a great, great idea. Well, I'm trying to make sure we get everything covered. How about your best souvenir? What are your best souvenirs that you've liked?
Well, I have so many people on Disney blogs that say, shop before you go and just pull these little cheap things from the dollar store out and give them to your kids, but that would never work for my kids because they see stuff all week that they want. So the best thing that we have done is bought our kids each a Disney gift card before we go, and then they know exactly what they have money-wise to spend. And
that's a great idea.
Yeah, and they spend all week, you know, processing. It's a homeschool project, too. They're doing math. Am I going to be able to afford this, this, and this with my gift card? So that's what we do.
Have you ever done any of the Disney trading pins?
Oh, we do the pins, and we got into the Vinylmations, and my younger two both have a Duffy Bear, so they like to buy costumes for that. Yeah, there are so many great things there, and there's definitely something for everybody.
And lots of, you know, my kids have always, and the thing about a parent is that you can't control what they buy. Because I don't know how many they've, you know, my kid will pick out some Lego thing. And I'm like, that doesn't even look like Disney World. Why do you want that? And my wife's just like, it's okay. It doesn't matter. It's their souvenir. And I'm like, okay, whatever, you know. And some of those things that my kids bought and spent a lot of money on, they still have fond memories about, even though they don't even know where they are anymore.
And we even buy T-shirts, even though, you know, we make a million sets of them at home. We still find T-shirts we want to buy. So,
okay, well, we're going to start bringing this to a close here. How about your Heidi's best tips for a successful vacation at Walt Disney World?
Well, my absolute best advice that I would give to any newbie is, and I'm going to say this in all capital letters, go with a plan. If you don't go with a plan, there's no way you're ever going to get to see and do it all. You're not going to anyway. But if you do a little bit of research, you know, you read some Disney-related blogs and websites, read some books, buy the Burn Bombs Guide from Amazon, figure out what everybody in your family absolutely has to do, you can make it work. You know, so that's my big thing. Just really make sure you plan it. And my other tip is to use a travel agent. I used to do it all on my own because I thought, well, I'm a planner. I can research this and figure it out. But I have found that when I use an agent, she can get me better deals that I didn't even know existed. You know, so I actually have at the top of my blog a Disney link, and if you click on it, the first thing that comes up underneath it is a Disney travel agent list. Click on that and read the bios and find an agent to work with. There's somebody on there for everybody, some special.
And the agent, because I think I've only used a travel agent once, but the agent doesn't charge you anything, right?
It's built absolutely into- Their services are free. So even if you're just thinking about going to Disney World, you can get a free quote from them and get an idea of, you know, if you're a new family and like Todd's saying, every family, you need to go to Disney at least once, and you do. And I hear so many people say, oh, we can't afford that. I don't know how you can go every year. Well, we're pretty much a one income family here and we're not rich by any stretch of the imagination, but you can make a Disney vacation work and you can do it on a budget.
And I don't know about this, but when people ask me, you know, I don't know, we'd really like to go, but we don't have very much money. I always say, if you decide you're going to go, just let others know you're going as well. you know, because when my wife and I went, we had zero money. And I don't know if we'd let anybody know, but I know that other people wanted to be a part of that. I know I would want to be a part of somebody else's vacation. You know, if you don't have very much, and you never know when you say, hey, we're thinking about going to Disney World, you know, in a year, and I don't know how we're going to afford it, but I just feel like, you know, we ought to do it. It's amazing what people might say. They might say, well, you know, we have a condo that's right next door. It's going to be empty. We'd Absolutely. Like you to use it. Or maybe we know a guy who works there. And we've gotten in for free on more than one occasion, you know, from people that we knew distantly who, you know, my father-in-law worked with someone who worked there and they met us at the gate. And, you know, we didn't know them, but they were happy to help out. And you just never know. Unless you take that first step.
All right. My family and I are going at the end of January 2017. So I'd like Perfect. All the help that you can give me.
Okay, you got it.
We haven't been for years, and my little one has never been. So
all right.
Time. You will love it. You'll love it.
I forgot you were still there, Scott.
He's been so
just
quiet.
Listening.
Well, you know, the thing that I just will never forget, and I may have shared it on the show in the past. I remember one time we had just pulled into Fort Wilderness, and you have to park your RV, and you're talking with them, and they're amazing. You know, when you pull in, they always say, welcome home, Wilsons, you know, and it always feels so good. But we're standing in line, we're waiting, you know, working out where we're going to be parked and all that. And this guy comes up to me and goes, hey, you're the family man, aren't you? And I'm like, well, yeah. And we start talking. And I look back at his RV. He says, yeah, we have 10 kids. And, you know, I mean, they were hanging out the windows. It looked like the Ma and Pa kettle go to Walt Disney World. And he said, you know, we've been saving up for a little while. And he goes, we're going to do it all. He said, we're going to spend the money. And he goes, you know, I just want my kids to know that having a big family is not a detriment. And really, right then, he became my hero, because I thought, here's a dad who knows what matters. You know, it's not about your pile of savings. It's not about your agenda. It's about letting your kids know that you love them more than anything and that you're willing to do those things. And having a family, any size family, is not a detriment. It's not just for, you know, because sometimes we'll say, oh, we can't go because we have too many kids. You know, and I think we tell our kids too many kids is a bad thing, or you can't, right. Or you say we can't go because we have a family, and we say, oh, family is a bad thing. And I just think if you want to go, God will make a way.
Absolutely. And, you know, so many people just think that they think that Disney is too expensive and they can't afford it, but it's not out of reach. It really isn't. I mean, for our family, we found it costs us more to spend a week at the beach or in Williamsburg, you know, but you can really go to Disney on a budget. You really can. If that means that you have to stay off site at a hotel, or you have to, you know, you can rent a house down there, take a couple families and rent a house and cook your meals in. Then you basically have the cost of your tickets. It's really not that bad.
But I will tell you, you won't have breakfast with the princess if you're on a tight budget.
Those things aren't cheap.
And
that may be true. But your daughter becomes the princess, you know, and right you remember on. It forever. Because our memories are different. You know, Heidi's memories are different than our memories, my kids' memories. But you're doing it together. Go ahead.
I was just going to ask Scott, did you book through a travel agent?
You know, I don't remember. My wife planned the whole thing to the hilt. I don't think we used a travel agent, but it was amazing how well organized she was with that.
Well, and you might want to even still get in touch with one of them, because they can actually have your trip transferred. And I would say there's a good chance, if you're going in January, that you can take advantage of free dining. They often offer it in January, in which case you can afford to dine with the princesses every day of your trip.
And the free dining is, that's an incentive. They tack that on to those downtimes to get people to come. So you book your hotel and they throw that in. And that's not an every year thing, but they've added again this year. So I know it's, at least they're doing it for a little while longer.
They always say this is the last year, but every year they seem to keep doing it anyway. Like, for example, my friend and I had a trip booked for September, and we've had it booked for quite a while. And just a couple weeks ago, they released free dining for those dates. And my agent was on the phone first thing in the morning, changing my vacation. And actually, we went from staying at Pop Century, we upgraded to Port Orleans, and our trip cost less. Wow. So she upgraded us. We got free dining, and it saved us both, I think, like $70.
Okay,
so,
let's all go. Let's all go. Let's
if
all
you've go. If you're working with an agent, she's going to do everything in her power to save you money.
Awesome.
Well, Heidi, we're out of time. Thanks for joining us. And we may have to do this again sometime. But tell everybody again, tell us your website so they can find you and so they can continue this conversation.
Okay. You can find my blog at Heidi-Strasser. It's Heidi-Strasser.com.
And that's our show for this week, Dad. Thanks for joining us for the Family Man Show with Todd Wilson. If you have a question for the show, email Todd at familyman@familymanweb.com. If you have a question for me, you can reach me at scott@unsocializedmedia.com. Thanks for joining us, Dad. Have a great week.